met last week for our hearing into the municipalities which had received claimants to add the findings for a period of 3 consecutive years or more. Certain dynamic emerged as the hearings proceeded, which necessitated that we reconvene today at the expense of our program. As Parliament also extends its committee to finalize its reports on ESCOM. But because of the dynamics of last week, here we are again today. So I hope that that reality can be appreciated, the reality which is an inconvenience. Because ordinarily, we should not be sitting here today. So we had to call back the municipalities of the first stage, because the administrators were not here of the two municipalities which were cited by the AG. A situation which in our view is unacceptable in the first instance. But secondly, one which borders the dereliction of duty, considering the fact that the municipalities are under Section 109. So it follows that if they are called to Parliament, the people who have been entrusted with the responsibility to administrate would avail themselves, particularly given the very ample notice which was given. It was not like a commercial kind of situation. Ample notice was given. And so we certainly, the committee, the other committees that have joined us do not take kindly to that kind of conduct. More so given the peculiar nature of his administration or intervention. So one was an administrator and a co-administrator. And as I'll delve into now, the reality of the first election, as soon as the administrator was pulled, and other arrangements were made on the issues now. So it would have really made sense that the people entrusted with that responsibility are present. Not only were the resources of the state coming here wasted, but our time as a committee as well was wasted. Given the pressures which we have, right, to submit some over 300 reports to us. So we need to discuss with all these matters before those reports arrive. And then somehow, willy-nilly, for all intents and purposes, without any concrete explanation by the administrators. So I think that must be put firmly on the table that this meeting does not take place under pleasant circumstances, as far as we are concerned. And we will apply our minds in terms of how we correct this particular challenge and who bears the cost and the responsibilities for what was nothing short of wasteful expenditure. Colleagues are advised an apology from the Minister of COPTA in the Eastern Cape this morning, today, for a service delivery launch, a project that government is launching. Deputy Minister Rapella himself has also sent a formal apology to the Minister. We advised the MEC of COPTA in the Free State has apologized. He also ran me this morning, first night. And the Director General, who is on sick leave, has apologized. And then there is the apology of Mr. Dirk, who will be joining us later. As you know, that last week he was a personal matter which he had to be given, so he's still dealing with those dynamics. So he will be joining us later on. Is there any other apologies for this?
Thank you very much,
at your chair. I would cautiously before an apology, but now that the ANC caucus is meeting as we speak, to reflect on the loss that we have experienced by the time of the week, the Deputy Minister for Minerals, Energy, who was involved in the accident as well. So where we are as well as
I would like to be recused at 11:40. I'm part of the Funeral Preparatory Committee. I need to go to that.
Okay.
In my other life.
Tragic passing of Deputy Minister Balvini de Floma, who was tragically killed on Friday in an accident while actually helping in another accident. The truck plowed into him. And he had opportunity to meet the family on Friday and also meet condolences. So I'd like us to take a moment and stand in honor of the members of Palau. Thank you very much. I haven't dispensed with those housekeeping rules. We've got Martina Makwini, Martina and Gisaliti this morning. Let me place in context our challenge. So our understanding is that Martina and Municipality is under administration on the basis of the resolution of the pass forward to correspondence sent to the mayor on the 21st of December 2018, some 23 months later. Later indicating the temporary withdrawal of the administrator, Steve Carl. In that letter, the following truth was confirmed to us, which was the basis of why we are here. I hope that Professor Cox is here, the HMD is here. And so, in that letter, kindly note that this measure is in no way a lifting of the intervention itself, and Makwini local municipality remains under administration, and therefore for the period under review, the Director General and the HOD Coctor will act as co-administrators on behalf of the Executive Council. That's where the snag was, because our understanding is that the administrator must be at work full time, every day. Here, we've got the DG of the province and the HOD of Culture's current administrator. So before we do anything and everything, that needs to be clarified, because it certainly does not make sense. And with HOD, the information before us, that whole period, we are only there once. the whole time. So I think you calling the author that get an explanation. Into the nature and the consequences of this questionable act. So that we can clarify it and move on, because the sounding block which was created by this reality does not mean that we are not going to proceed to whether to do another time with the hearing to the evidence so that we can rectify it. And it delays us as well, because we want to make sure that by the time Parliament does the resolution, we want to the House. So, Rachel, I'll hand over to you, because there's also the issues of Mafube municipality. Because our understanding is that the administrator was withdrawn. At Mafube, there were two administrators. We would also like to explain, because eventually the other administrator, the core administrator, became the MM. And so the more we have been assessed, the more they become complicated. But I think let's confine ourselves in the first instance to consider an extensive net so that we do not cloud issues. So can we delve into that particular?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all our members of the committee. Chairperson, it's correct that there was a decision by the Executive Council to assign the directors and not myself internally to deal with the problems of Macedonia. This was the result of the life of the administrator who was appointed, Mr. Gowns, in our midst today. There have been tons of incidents which actually targeted the team and the person. And based on the reports that we received, the Executive Council took a firm view that he needs trying to save his life. We've got to replace him. The second reason was that at that time, there were also quite numerous labor unrests, which was beheaded by the trade union firm. And in the industrial action, their view was that Mr. Gao has to be removed. They don't want him as an administrator. Let me also indicate, Chair, that there were two critical issues that he provided reports on. The first one was around the appointment of the mayor. You would be aware that Macedonia had a mayor who then subsequently resigned. And the new mayor was then appointed. And part of the report submitted to the department was that his view and that what was that the appointment of the mayor was not consistent with both the structure set and the system set. And then as a result, subsequent to those reports, that's when, you know, most of the things became difficult, especially as part of the submitted to the Executive Council and have that decision. He is the provincial treasurer. He's one of the appointments. He's the provincial treasurer.
So that's where the issue is. Therefore, that's where you have to start. That you are pointing to who interim administrators yourself in the DG and within their work, and this is a decision taken in January. In September 2018.
That's correct.
We are in September 2019 and there's no administrator. You are still at head office. But imagine the DG is the same. But I thought you started about that particular issue. We understand those are issues were extensively explained about the why the administration is not there. Normally in this particular set, what kind of intervention is this? I think that's what that story you have here.
The teacher was about to explain that part. As a result of the workload that myself and the DG experienced, we went back to the Trinity Counselor set. It would be important for us to appoint another person additional to the establishment and he told to see as the administrator. That process has been done. I think last month we appointed Mr. Lekhetu Mkhale, additional to our establishment, to be the administrator for Macedonia. However, chairperson, his appointment started to be implemented from the 1st of September. And our view was that we would write the administrative request to council to convene so that we normally go and introduce the new administrator. It is correct, Chair, that I attended the council meeting once, and subsequent to that, most of the meeting have been held in my office with the MM and the senior management of the meeting because of other, you know, pressing matters that one had to deal with, given all the number of municipalities in the province. As we know that there's quite serious challenges and problems affecting all municipalities in the province. And we had to also focus on that, not only the Macedonia, but that.
You are appointed as an administrator in that municipality. There's no basis to say there's other pressing matters. Because the question still becomes, how did we arrive at this arrangement? What we want to understand is how it is that you recognize the workload even before the meeting you were appointed. And for 10 months, and the administrator now is still not sitting. He's still not sitting. That's the issue. So I would request colleagues, if you would like to few questions, can we focus on this particular issue? But I want to say I'm sorry to teach you the argument, but one certainly doesn't care about it. It's precisely why we have very flippant outlook to the application of one system, and this is a classic example. You have left this municipality in a state of labor for 10 months. And particularly understanding that their issues are of a serious nature, that it was your administration that decided to intervene, and then you went collapse your own intervention. It does not in any way inspire confidence. So our dear colleagues, please can we just focus on this particular thing, because this seems to be a gravel problem. Because it just does not fit well, not anything. Because then the question is, where's the provincial DG? I understand the apology table today. Or these cosmetic arranged 10 months in a municipality which is receiving the same fine with the other. What becomes the status of this official then and so on? They're just going to work to have jail. And you really thought they should be able to advance it, then they compare you to them concrete. Some meetings taking place in your office. You are an administrator at the municipality, not at your office. Honorable Sonia, Honorable Power, Honorable Justice, Honorable Sandu, the fourth one.
Thanks, thanks, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. The judges of the spices. right to say, I think, as per the HOG, he moved from the actual duration of the intervention. If I may ask, were you involved in the initial phases of the intervention?
So they are supposed that they have this one response that can be responded to.
Like I said, there were multiple problems affecting the municipality. problems was that the municipality never had senior managers. One of the things that we achieved was to ensure that we appoint the senior managers to the municipality. The LDM was appointed, the head of corporate services was appointed. The municipality is currently not having the CFO, it's only having the acting CFO. The manager for community services has not been appointed yet. So those are some of the interventions we have actually come up with. Added to that, Chair, was that as we speak now, the municipality does not have a problem in terms of paying salaries of employees. We managed to overcome that particular problem. The only challenge that when it comes to finances is the non-compliance by previous managers around the grant utilization. The MIG grant was actually wrongly used to pay salaries, and then as a result of that, National Treasury implemented punitive measures where the municipality had to pay back some of the monies. But we are still working closely with the municipality. Yes, in the chair, I must concede that one has not been, you know, physically to the municipality, but around those particular issues, I've worked closely with both the CFO and the municipal manager to actually ensure that we provide a report which will actually see the municipality getting their accounts back. And National Treasury has indeed agreed on a strategy that the municipality has developed to deal with those issues around the wrong interpretation of the grant, and as we speak, the situation is better off now. And last month, I'm not sure of the date, Chair, I will have to check through my records, we went to the Executive Council and said, look, the way we see the improvement under Masilena, I think it will be time for us to withdraw our intervention. But the Executive Council said, no, look, wait, let's get the other administrator who will then give us the proper reports on the status quo so that when we resolved on withdrawing Section 139, we are then happy that things are going well.
Are you sure that that is for under Section 139?
Well, sir, I was confident that it takes me that question, but you know, in terms of the procedure and all the things that we followed, we can confirm. And one of the things that I must indicate, Chair, is that the forensic investigation, because among the things that we initiated was to appoint a forensic investigator to actually go and look into how the finances were actually used, because one of the strange things that happened was that when the ESCOM account was supposed to be paid, it was actually paid in the wrong account. And the other issue was that when the December report got in, it only took 2 days and then the municipality never had money. So those are some of the red flags which necessitate us to initiate the forensic investigation. I had the discussions with the forensic investigator last week and they indicated that they have wrapped up the work and they would know that procedure that they will have to present their reports and their findings to the Executive Council, and subsequently we will go to the Municipal Council and present that report, which report must then indicate it's factual, and the recommendation that thereof will then have to be added to the law enforcement officers.
I have a question, Chair. A question about, I'm sure about this, the 139 needs an answer. Because we need to attack the mic issue. Your mic. The fundamental issue is from where we are sitting, the kind of intervention which was applied here is inconsistent with 139 with all its material aspects. And so that being our case, what intervention was this? That's what we want to know. Because I think we must not run away from the fact that there's a category that could be put in. You give him 10 bucks and not the street.
Because the fact is, as far as I'm concerned, you remain the HOP. You are never an administrator, nor was the DG ever an administrator. This municipality was run from head office of province. There was no administrator. So that question becomes pertinent. So if we can, I'm sure I understood you correctly, what I'm trying to say is that what intervention was supposed to be a liable question. Which I want you to answer the first one carefully and think about it, because there's a right to it, which I take from a subject at that point. Are you sure that municipality is under section 129?
Chair, I am sure that the municipality is under 129. Like I said, the problem only began when the administrator was president. Yes, Chair, I can concede and agree with the House that from December moving up to today, there was no compliance on the provision of Section 129.
When you said interim, what did you mean by interim? Because of it. 10 months, 13 does not qualify. What did you mean by interim? And did you act, were you actually consistent with your own outlook of interim?
Chair, the interim, in terms of the resolution of this answer, was that who will in charge myself and the Director General up until the new administrator is appointed. Like I said, there were a number of things that happened which delayed the appointment of the administrator. We have appointed finally. It's just a matter of introducing him to the municipality.
Well, if you are sure that municipality is under Section 129, and you corresponded with the municipality on a number of things that they ordered us to do, and therefore taking the responsibility away from them, putting the accounting responsibility to the administrator, so that the accountability would rest with the administrator right through the process. Are you accountable for any and everything that took place when you were put as the interim administrator in that municipality?
Yes, sir.
So you remain accountable for their expenditure, you remain accountable for their failure to do so? Are you accountable for ensuring that councils of that municipality sit and receive reports? They remain within the frame of existence of a council which is functional and operational based on the defined of Section 129 as you have somewhat intervened in the municipality.
In terms of that provision of Section 129, I am accountable, Chair.
Thank you very much. So the books of that municipality, the mess they find themselves in currently, that mess we just have.
Chair, considering that would be the case, maybe the follow-up will also be that what intervention has one made to deal with the issues that arose from that municipality to try and deal with all the issues that were identified by the Minister of the General Needs Response.
Can I rather quickly just move in this line to take what Honorable this? We'll come back to the issue of accountability and the response. I think we can just pass on that one. Honorable this, I'll come to the second one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. been under administration for 2.5 years. Now, the revenue collection of the municipality, is that fully operational, and do you collect 100% of the revenue over those 2.5 years that should be collected?
Chair, to be precise, the municipality, like I said, there's multiple issues that we identified which caused us to place the municipality under Section 129, and among them was the issue of revenue collection and the expenditure. The municipality has not been collecting the way it's supposed to collect, precisely because they have not been issuing accounts. One of the problems was that when a decision was taken by National Treasury for M Square implementation, the service provider that was appointed, the system that the municipality is using, the financial system that the municipality is using, could not be compliant to M Square provisions. And added to that was the fact that their server also crashed. And our department is currently in the process of trying to acquire a new server for them, so that the new system could then be M-score compliant. Revenue collection has been heavily affected, Chair Massey.
Thank you, sir. So essentially, after 2.5 years of intervention, the problem persists. We haven't fixed the problem. So, revenue collection remains a problem despite this lengthy intervention. When you arrived as administrator, you said that they couldn't pay salary, but now you can pay salary. They were using grant funding incorrectly for operating expenses. I presume no longer grants being paid, as I understood it, National Treasury withholding grants. Where's the money coming from now if you say everything's okay and salaries can be paid? Revenue collection hasn't improved.
Chair, other revenue collection is not, I think the municipality is between 30-40%. They are giving 80%, but the collection ranges between 35-40%. Added to that, the Department of Public Works, I can say that in terms of government departments, they are the only ones that are paying. And a small portion of the community. I don't have the figures in terms of which area, how much do they pay now, but we do have the reports which will then reflect which section of the community is actually paying for their services and which one is not paying for their services. I have had meetings with the councillor from the Democratic Alliance, who then suggested that the best way to deal with their financial rules was to encourage the community to actually pay the flat rate up until the end of the server is resolved, so that the accounts can be issued. Because if you cannot issue accounts to the consumers, there's no way that consumers will pay because they don't know how much to pay. That is the problem that's there.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. But my question perhaps is not being understood. The situation of revenue collection has not improved. Grant income is no longer available to use to pay salaries. How then has the financial situation of the council or the municipality improved to the point where salaries now can be paid? Are there other sources of money? Or is your department funding this minister?
The last money we paid to the municipality was around March this year, and that was the last amount of money we paid. The other revenue sources, like I said, is from other government departments like public works, the Department of Land Affairs and Rural Development. Those are the main contributors to the municipal income.
So, Mr. Chairman, so now what we're seeing is a municipality in considerable distress can't pay salaries. So the administration then is put in place, doesn't fix the municipality, it brings in funds from other departments to pay salaries, but the fixing hasn't happened. 2.5 years later, the billing system's not fixed, the computer system's not fixed. Vacancies haven't been filled. You say, it's 2.5 years, not 10 months. 10 months there's been no one there, 2.5 years of administration, and the municipality is still in a mess. The revenue, the ability to pay accounts, appears to me anyway, not to have been fixing the municipality, it's bringing in revenue from other sources. But I might be misunderstanding. So, the CFO resigned in August 2018. So that's a year ago. During the administration, it's taken you a year and you still haven't appointed a new CFO. Why did the CFO resign, and why is it taking you so long to appoint a new one?
The CFO indeed resigned because there were other problems. Remember, I said we instituted the forest investigation because there were suspicious transactions in the municipality. Looking at the CFO resign, we can't stop. That's why we're waiting for the report, and if it directs us to say there are wrong things that have been happening, we will then take necessary process by defending the reports to the law enforcement officers. The post has been advertised. Majority of the people who have been applied did not meet the minimum requirements in terms of the regulation 17. So the municipality has to advertise the post again. You will be aware that on the 9th of March, the Constitutional Court declared the regulations unconstitutional. So that is an ongoing work. We hope that process will be finalized soon. As I
put a timeline to preserve the litigation so that it can be continued. What period are we dealing
with? I have the report. I would have to consult with the municipal managers to change the report.
Let me just say that. What's the timeline present?
That's been corrected, Chair. I'm sorry to interject, that's just been corrected in October 2018.
So he resigned in October 2018. During the intervention.
During the intervention.
And you came in as administrator in December.
In December.
And up to now, still don't have a CEO.
Yes, like I said, Chair, the post has been advertised, and if we don't have correct candidates, because one of the things that must correct in municipality is that we get proper people to do
work. That's correct, but the question becomes, so you come in, there's no CFO.
Yes, there's an empty CFO.
And there's no CFO. That's the issue. There's no administrator, because if I can put it to you, I can also say to you, you are an acting administrator. I'm sure you see the problem I'm pointing to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, can we then move on to the technical director? How long has there been no full-time technical director?
It's, I would have to check my records, but it's a very unacceptable long time.
The records be checked now, right? Because I don't want these things to be known, because then you don't come back. It's fine, and if you've got the answers, you can just ask and you can put them on your record. You can give us the information.
Mr. Chairman, I make that point because, like with the billing system and the vacancy of the CFO, very much. Mr. Chairman, I apologize if I'm making light at the moment, but sometimes we have to not be too serious. It is a serious matter.
All right. Can we get the responses to the technical director?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just saying, you know, like with the billing system, the lack of a CFO, the computer system that's a mess, the technical manager or director not being there, there the water treatment plant at Tennyson was upgraded and refurbished in 2013-14. It's still not working properly. But there's no technical data.
Change collect the technical data down to 2014. And all the things that you mentioned, correct wastewater treatment plant transport was upgraded. But there's also an indication, a pending indication to the service provider and the municipality. There were grants that the municipality received in terms of the pipeline, which also had to deal with the issue of the wastewater treatment from TNSM to Brantford. And I'm sure for those who reside in the province will be aware that that pipe has got quite serious defects. It causes quite serious spillages. You drive through that Aramaharana road on the right hand side when you leave from Punting towards TNSM. There's spillages of water where that pipe was actually put. And among the problems that the municipality is having with the service provider, which matter finally went to court, was as a result of the defect in doing all those things. And that's why one of the problems that the wastewater treatment plant in the area is not well commissioned.
Let's take it back to 2014, the resignation, and what has happened since 2019, the whole term, the 5-year period. So what happened in between?
We got assistance from NISA. They seconded the three water process controllers, and our department also has been assisting through our own departmental engineers to actually assist the municipality.
5 years.
Mr. Chairman, who is the service provider where the litigation is? Who is that service provider?
Who are from construction?
And has that service provider been then visited at least in the Free State? You are the HOD?
Remember, Chair, the matter is before the court. Once the court has actually pronounced, we will then definitely follow the correct procedure in terms of if it is found out through the process that is actually followed that it is a result of the diligence of the contractor, definitely it will be blacklisted. Not be sure it's staged, but it's one of the big contractors, I think.
Thank you, actually. Then the last issue I want to ask you about is the question of an overdraft that apparently was arranged by the mayor in October of 2018. During the term of administration, presumably the administrator who's now being withdrawn. On what basis did the mayor arrange that overdraft? And does that not partly answer my earlier question about how you're managing to pay salaries?
Yes, there was a report in the council that I attended regarding the very matter. And from that report, it is clear that the procedures in terms of the MFP were not followed. But however, the subsequent council meeting apparently condoned that, because before you go to the bank and request overdraft facility, I'm not sure of the correct section in the MFP, you must have had council resolution. You also have to demonstrate to the bank how you will receive the overdraft. But clearly there was no compliance around that particular matter as it was discussed in council then, but the subsequent council meeting apparently condoned the action.
Yeah, thank you for those answers, and they clarify certain aspects, but the question I'm really asking is, you have an administrator who takes over all executive authority in the municipality under 6.29 jurisdiction. It is. How then does it become a council, or even incorrectly the mayor's decision, but let's assume it was done correctly, how does it then become a council decision?
Chair, you would know that section 159(1)(b) does not necessarily withdraw the powers of the municipal council. The municipality still has the legislative authority, and one of the things like the approval of the overdraft, the passing of the budget and related matters still remain the authority of
council. I'm pulling out the terms of reference so far, but I can't find it. That's why I'm pulling it. Terms of reference, the first one says, kind of take all executive functions of the municipal council.
The executive functions of the council, but not legislative.
No, I understand that, but I would imagine that if you're going to be pursuing such an action, why is it somehow that the administrators of the side, right, are not getting, not feeling the presence of the administrator? Yes, you can clarify.
Let me clarify. You remember, Chair, when I first presented, I indicated that among the reports that the administrator, Mr. Gao, at the time presented before his withdrawal, was that the municipality, you know, accessed an overdraft without the council resolution to the issue relating to the appointment of the mayor. Those are the main issues that he had actually raised in the report. And subsequent to that, that's when we had the labor addressed by some to say they no longer want the administrator. And it took quite a long time. That is one of the things that it was picked up by the administrator in correction. Yeah, the ritual is very correct. you would act as an accounting officer at that point in time. It was maybe a particular anomaly. And remember, one of the issues that I had to get to the year was that at that time there were labor unrest. And there was no way we could convene ourselves. And we had to ensure also that we restore power. Because there were negotiations between ourselves and the Eskom had to be tried on us.
So this process was financial behest?
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to do.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Let me. Because what has happened? Sometime in June 2017, the Land Council has passed a resolution wherein it mandated both the media and the MO to do whatever possible to assist the municipality in order to ensure that there's that financial
possibility.
Yes, possible within the law, yes. So we acted within that particular resolution that we have changed.
But the resolution directs you to actually get the law and the process you
did. Yes. But immediately after that, this was taken out of
council. That is actually, that's based on the primary issue that you acted on that process.
Yes.
Is that we need to tie that down first?
Okay.
And then we move on to the justification for the question. No, Mahal, what job do you have to tie down the plan?
The meeting that the HOD alluded to is the first meeting where the item was prepared, but unfortunately the visibility of the item, because we rely on print items, so the visibility was not quite clear. Therefore, council deferred the item to the next meeting where it was disposed of.
That's why it is that the standing resolution of council 30 you actually bring concepts that is in the law. So that's fundamentally the issue. Because the two questions that are out such a decision of this magnitude and an administrator, and it's as if the administrator comes in after the fact, it's fundamentally what's worrying. That's why the question is pertinent. Is this society under one agreement? It remains. Because there seems to be a parallel structure, three streets. Here, right? Honorable Maha.
Honorable Bessel. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, all. Chairperson, currently, I fail to understand that the same issue who belongs to the department would recommend the Section 169 intervention to the council, knowing exactly what are the rules of the administrator behaving like this. First of all, the issue of non-presence by him that in the finance does have it. But can that in the finance, knowing exactly that there are day-to-day activities that are done at the municipality level. Now what I'd like to know from him is that when he observes that he's unable to assist that in, but he said a fool, why did he recommend to the NDC that he's unable, so that the NDC is able to come up with Plan B? Because you know, $3 million that we should have paid to, which are supposed to pay to us from and pay to a lot of bank accounts, have an under your nose. The financial statement for 2017, which have not been submitted to be, have an under your nose. So you should have known that at least your plans are full, and then you recommend to the NDC to come up with Plan B. Can you convince the NDC committee why it's here like this?
Further response to that.
That's like I said at the beginning, Chair, those things that honourable members have referred to, it was during the time of Nadeda, and there were reports that were brought to the department to say, look, these are the problems that are happening with the municipality. And like I said, you know, there were those issues which indicate that his life was actually at risk. That's why in December we were then assigned myself to the director general to internally oversee the process up until the new administrator has been found. And there has been quite a number of things that happened which delayed the process. And I said last month, then a decision, because we had a report that went to the executive and says, look, the volume of work disturbs us from, you know, permanently staying in the municipality because we've got to focus on other municipalities. Therefore, as a result, we had to get the administrator for that particular municipality. And that group of people was attracted. And, you know, there are processes. We don't just be aware. There are certain processes that the Department of Public Service and Administration has actually put in place, as we'd be aware that the standard speed of the process is quite high. So there are certain processes that we've got to follow. And that's why our provincial president has to confirm and open the president before you are appointed. That approval was actually achieved. So done last month, from the first of this month, September, the administrator has been appointed, and we said in my presentation that we will be presenting in council so that we can finalize the process and present the report on whether we need to completely withdraw or continue and request an extension for the intervention. That was
Thank you.
said,
because we sent him back to where
we
sent him to the lower administrator, you and the provincial region are the interim administrators. We have still not determined what interim was, how long it was, what it meant. So what is the process you follow to get an administrator? Because you effectively didn't have one. And as I'm certain it does not take 10 months.
Chair, we searched around and then there was the previous municipal manager of the Bonanuka municipality at the time was still unemployed. And then we engaged him to say, look, we would want you to come and join the department so that we can send to Macedonia local municipality. And at the time it was just either before or around the time of the election for the sixth administration. And after the administration, I'm trying to relate what processes were trying to follow.
The election was in May.
Yes, that's correct.
Speaking about December 2015, January 2019, February, March, April.
Yes, I remember
the chair. The election was for another 4 or 5 months. The issue is that place yourself in our shoes for a moment. Just momentarily. Our expectation and understanding is an administrator's full time at work. That's the first issue. None of us here are downplaying the challenges that the previous administrator had. They're not for us to be sympathetic to one or the other or to unpack its merits or demerits. It was a problem, right? An entire HOD of the province is said to be an administrator with a provincial DG. Already from the word go, this process is doomed. I think that if you can't have that appreciation, because it seems as if then there was a lies of fair approach. That's the nub of the issue. All the issues that colleagues are raising stem out of that particular issue. And then to complicate matters, knowing very well the challenge that they is, this municipality is called to Parliament last week and we know the issue. That's the issue. So it raises eyebrows already, which, what are we doing? I would imagine that if an entire municipality is placed, even now outside COPTA and sent to the Premier's office with the delegation of those responsibilities to the DG, it speaks to the seriousness of the issue in that municipality. Because I would ask the question that in the time that you have been an administrator, how many council meetings are set and how many of you attend? If I can get a response to
that. Chair, let me explain. Let me start by saying, I apologize, but I indicated that I had classes for the whole of last week from Monday until Friday. It's unfortunate that I do not undermine the powers and the authority of the House, but equally so, it was an important event that I had to attend, which also built my capacity in terms of managing the department. I had to repeatedly attend the classes because if you miss out on the classes, you will not be able to cope with your examination. And because this is a bazaar from the government, I don't comply. I'm equally keen.
I would really appreciate if that compliance was consistent to being present in the municipality as well as the administration. So that outcome is noble as it is for the stretch of the space within the parameters of the current dynamics. So that's why I'm not I heard your apology last week, but I want to place it in context. student right to be in attendance on average 10 months and you don't need to be one student and that you are against them. So I think just suppose the two understand how practical.
No, I don't, and I appreciate that as well, Chair. Chair,
so counted
me, let me,
let steps and how many can you.
Chair, let me take the sequence of the questions and I'll also come to that one. Just to paint the picture so that the house becomes aware of the prevailing situation. Look, Chair, when that decision was taken in December, from December until the new administration was attracted, that decision was elected, were there challenges in terms of the executive council? If you look at majority of the executive members at the time who were not necessarily coming back, that decided not to attend, and more often we had about four executive council meetings that were convinced but could not cooperate. And that is where the essence of trying to place the name of the administrator as well was frustrated. It's not that we've been acting negligently. And in the process, it was confronted by the election. After the elections, it was the issue of capacitating and inducting the new members. And the first council meeting that said, that's when we produced the report to say, it quite poses a lot of challenges for us to be able to attend to the problems of municipality and other municipalities. Therefore, we need to appoint the new administrator. And that approval was attractive. But process, like I said, the provincial president, before you appoint anyone because of the salary period of the province, they must first check whether the department has got sufficient budget to cater for any new appointment. And that actually is part of the process that, you know, delayed the appointment of the administrator. You would recall I presented that during the time when the executive council resolved on the matter to say we would interimly be in charge up until the new administrator is appointed. Therefore, those processes that I've just now explained actually delayed that process. And the first
is going to have the captures of thinking now to listen to the council.
Yes, Chair. I attended there were about three council meetings convened. The first one is the one that I attended where I had to say, look, that process and the report, instead of report of the previous administrator was wrong. And the subsequent council meeting that said the one thereafter was supposed to sit and it actually collapsed, did not sit, but I was not in attendance, to be honest with the House. And then there's this one that the MMS is faithful to say it actually condoned the procedures that we followed. I was also not present, and those are the only council meetings that said.
So the 3rd December, only three have been scheduled to. And you only attended one.
I only attended one, that's correct.
You see where the challenge comes in to two days. I'm not coming back to
that. My interest is around the number setting of the council meeting because what I know is that the accounting was supposed to transfer to the agenda to the council meeting. Quite happened because when he's not there, who's doing that job on this behalf? What is the meeting?
All right, let's get a response to that.
Yes, Chair, it's correct that when the two council meetings, because even in the first one that I attended, I actually advised council and said, because you are the administration, you will not convene a council meeting without the approval of the administrator. So every council meeting that is convened, the administrator has to be informed. That's correct. So, the subsequent one was as a result of the items that were deferred around the issues that the MMA explained to say the minutes and the reports, there was no clear visibility. And it had to, as a subsequent to that one I attended, it had to convene. But I indicated to them that I will be attending a meeting at the time, so I won't be present. But subsequent to that council meeting, I had a meeting with the speaker and the MM and the managers also said how things did go. But the report I got was that that council meeting never continued. There were serious problems. So the one that the MN referred to, I wasn't aware of. I'm just trying to be honest with what actually transpired.
Can we just say that now you are not in attendance at council meetings, you are the administrator. Was the provincial DG in any of those meetings?
Not.
So everything else is a priority but this particular in terms of attendance. All other meetings take precedence but not these ones. Because then it means that everything has been shifted around your diaries. They are going to head office in Bloom to meet with you there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Richard. My understanding of what they are along the lines of a military intervention, boots on the ground, that's what it is. I'm sensing no boots on the ground here at all. Because I would imagine that, let's assume I sympathize with your challenge of the executive not meeting, which I don't, but assume I do. Knowing that those meetings are not meeting. Doesn't that set into motion the agency to then be on the ground? So you've got four MECs attending, six are not there, you are unable to make a presentation and so on. So in spite of all those challenges, you are still not on the ground. That's the point you drive you home. You're upset. With the meeting a collapsed administrator was there becomes another question. Because clearly I certainly don't understand how you present documents that are not visible to council. That on its own it's flimsy and lousy to say that very day. That's what smacks of just being unprofessional. Can't even therefore fly right out the window. When did we realize that these documents are not visible? When we arrived at council, oh, is all of those situations? No. That was nice. And until their appreciation is there that you are not there, then you wish to establish an economic structure, regardless of whatever. Because we want to understand. Because that comes to the range of all things. That's the issue.
Good morning, Chair President and honorable members. My name is Koshima Shanti from the Provincial Treasury. Chair President, I just want to come into the space of DC and being appointed as administrators of Masikoyana. I think if we put this into context, the reality is that the Executive Council of the province did not anticipate that we would have challenges with the relationship between the municipality or the unions with the then administrator. And the reason why the DG and the HOD were placed there, it was because this was unanticipated and there was no immediate solution. And the instant solution was that let the DG and the
the reality is that Chairperson, it would affect the HOD there, but the duty is impractical. Obviously, given their responsibilities.
What's your role in provincial prison?
And the HOD. To place them there on a permanent basis is impractical. I believe that what should have happened immediately thereafter, the Executive Council should have then appointed an administrator, and that brings us to clock.
That's common cause.
Yes, that's the common cause. And it would not have been practical for the HOD to be on a full time basis and the DG to be on a full time basis as a municipality.
Well, that's understood. I thought you were coming in to explain to us what I'm trying to place into context the issue we are raising. The administrators were not there. That's the issue. Honorable Mahal.
The last township, I would like to know if can be submitted the financial statement because that's the report in front of me. 2017 meeting has not been submitted.
It's only now they will be submitting the financial statement for the two financial years. Sure.
Honourable Vessels, and then Honourable Tam, I'm going to ask you as the chair of COPTA to invite you all of this that we will transfer this particular dilemma and collapse of government to the East to you will get the last slide. Then we'll move on to the Mafuga on this, and then we will proceed to the issue of the right, Honourable
Vessels. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Chairperson, yes. First, ask you the HIV speak about. To you and the DG of the province was appointed as the co-administrators. Can you just explain what your different roles were? Was there any specific role that you had to perform or have to perform apparently, and what the DG had to perform?
Chair, it was that as interim managers who will be responsible in catching them. If I have other events that I must pressing events that I must attend to, DG will require him in charge. And if DG becomes engaged elsewhere, then I will be in charge. That was the type of an arrangement in place. But like you said, Chair, that arrangement was not even supposed to last for a month, to be quite honest. In terms of that resolution of the Executive Council. But because there were those challenges of the Executive Council, because even if we had recruited a person to the administration who was still supposed to go to the Executive Council and say, here's the person that has been appointed, or that we recommend for his appointment or his replacement at the state.
Chairperson, could nobody else have been appointed or come as an administrator, an official in the department, senior ranking official, rather than an DG and an HND?
Chair, let me be honest with you. The department, together with provincial treasury, is actually overstressed. That is why even the reports, if I may just give flesh to this matter, so that we even had to get national intervention to assist in Manitoba, because our officials are overstressed, in most municipalities. We have certainly tried a lot of officials to municipalities, to be honest.
Please, the fact of the matter is, you were then in terms of the terms of reference, which according to the letter of the UCC, 21 December 2018, you had quite a lot of functions as collecting this to perform in terms of those terms of reference, which clearly has not been done because of your other responsibilities and because of your lack of being on the ground. And if one looks at the letter written by the speaker of Masuliyama Council, dated the 5th of March 2019, he urges the EC of COPTA at the time, that this council is not sitting and hasn't had a full sitting since January 2019, and that he asks for the intervention of the EDC and of the department in that. Was there any attempt to get council sitting?
There were attempts, like I said, subsequent to that, there was a council meeting which I attended, even though it was convened without the approval of the administrator, but in that council meeting where I advised council to sit, every time the council has to sit, it must then get an approval. But I understand the challenge that we were interim administrators, myself and the director general at the time. But Chair, this is part of why certain things were actually happening and delayed the other process.
So what's also a problem here is, oh, let me just understand this. In terms of other Section 1391B interventions in the province, how does the process work? Who monitors and who accounts in terms of the progress of the turnaround and the progress in terms of the term of reference of that administrator? Who's the one in the department that monitors that?
Let me explain what normally happens, and after we have received two cards. Look, Chair, what normally happens, they become the political steering committee and the technical steering committee. That will oversee the processes of intervention. And both committees then will write a report. The political one is also chaired by the MEC, and the technical one is also chaired by me. But when I'm engaged, the Deputy Director General then becomes in charge. But we have appointed Advocate Tere to oversee the process of intervention, and together with the administrator, they will then compile a report that comes to the department, and that report will then be sent to the Executive Council. With a recommendation of what needs to happen based on the recommendation of the steering committees.
They are overseeing your progress, I understand.
That's correct.
Isn't the aim of Section 1391B, one of the aims is to maintain essential standards for services. This municipality has been under Section 139 intervention 1B. Intervention for 2 years now, more than 2 years. And still there's a lack of service delivery, especially a colleague mentioned Tiernison water treatment plant, but it goes further than that. You must be aware, although you're not on the ground, you must be aware of huge challenges daily with regards to water in the transport area. And in terms of electricity supply, the electricity network, what has the intervention done to maintain a system of service delivery, and is that being monitored? I understand what you're saying with regards to a political steering committee, but if that political steering committee and the other technical steering committee that's supposed to monitor administration could not resolve the issue that there's no administrator, because executives couldn't sit, and I think that admittance is clear that the election was the reason, and the election hearing was the reason, and the term of politics was the reason for the delay in Exco meeting since December up until now a month ago to appoint an administrator. So is that whole process then actually achieving any success in maintaining essential standards for service delivery in that municipality?
Lucia were aware of those challenges that you just mentioned. That's why I said MISA also came in handy to second its water process controllers to assist with water challenges in the municipality. Like I said, Chair, this litigation also has got a negative impact on the functioning of the wastewater treatment plant. And it's a matter that is before the court. Once the court has pronounced on the matter, we will know what the next step that needs to be taken. It's correct, Chair, that those challenges water and electricity in Bamford, and it's not only in Bamford, also in Twistwood. There are also critical challenges there around the sanitation.
Check, yeah, let me respond on the issue of tenants and water supply. I think this has been a challenge for quite some time. But what we have done to date, we've actually resorted to the old system that we used to utilize. Because as I speak, the system that was defective was replaced for the new one. And ever since the installation of the new system, water supply began to be a challenge. And Chair addressing now, just from last month, we resorted to that new system and a number of areas that have not been receiving water, some for more than 8 years. I can rest assured that some are starting that are not receiving water. See? And the platform situation of water, it's twofold. One, you have challenges at the issue we alluded to with the pipeline. Two, you have challenges with the water plant of Bamford. And that is receiving attention because we've received 3.6 million from the Department of Water and Sanitation to assist in that project. Thank you, Chair.
Last question, just to allude to that, the other challenge is that ESCOM actually switches off power to the notable water pump. You're not aware of that situation until we brought it to your attention. And that is the concern, Chief, that the HOD of is that administrator that is not aware of the challenges on a daily basis. But that's a comment. Further to the whole situation regarding there's a lack of assurance. There's vacancies in critical positions. There's no administrator. There's acting CFO. There's no technical director. The other issue is, and the question is, that previously the problem under that administrator before 21 December was that no Section 70 committees of council sat and gave that level of assurance. So no portfolio committees, no impact set, and no meetings were called. Has that been rectified? Is if there was a non-sitting of council, you say he did attend to that or not. But the question is, has the Section 70 committee been reinstated? Is there functioning Section 70 committees, and are they currently providing more level of assurance?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, all the committees are in the Chair. They are sitting and they are functional. And we do have a schedule that we are following, and the reports being filed as well as within both EXCO and CASA. This includes your MPEC, your audit committee, your risk management committee, your rules committee. So there's life that has been introduced as well. Let me also touch on the issue of the vacancies. I'm sure it was also raised that we still have vacancies that are created at the manager level. But that is what has to indicate that where we are now, we are done with the shortlisting of the posts of three directors. That is the CFO, Director Technical and Infrastructure Services, as well as Director Community and Social Services. So we requested Doctor to assist with vetting and verification of the qualifications. Once that process is done, we definitely will be vetting.
I just want to So the question then becomes, were you ready with the name of an administrator in general?
That's correct, Chair. The national is very true. Even provincial president he appointed to in January. That's correct, in January and February. And the department then, we then said, treasurer, that's what I think is special. Once we receive that appointment, it's also like a transaction for Hopta and
Moody. What did the appointment mean by provincial treasurer?
No, look, check. What happened is that the provincial treasurer has got a unit which is MFMA unit. At a time, the head of the unit was appointed as an administrator in Mandapofu. That is why we even said, when we analyzed the audit outcome of the municipalities, to say, look, this thing of taking officials who have got to babysit the municipalities, it's a different compromise in our operations. And as a result, national debt came in handy. And then at the time, during that period before Mr. Mulaney went back to his official responsibility, that's where the gentleman was then assigned to be in charge of that unit, the one that would send it to Macedonia.
So his appointment was not in the country going to Macedonia, he was just appointed to provincial treasury.
That's correct, I'm sorry to come in, because at the time, remember, we had not yet received the approval of the
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'm glad that both the HOD of Finance and COFTA are in the province. And we are told that there was hostility between the administrator and the unions and everything, but it's a letter here, if you've seen in the budget. The letter that was dated the 30th of October returned to the MSC by the Speaker of D.D. Modisi. If you go to the letter, Chair, it was talking about the complaint that the Speaker was raising to the MSC. The letter returned, it dated the 30th of October, not cooperation, but it was administrator. That was the heading of the letter, colleagues. Then in fact the speaker was communicating that since the administrator was put, the municipality has been in the task, no progress report has ever been tabled into the council. Then that brings me to this question, because I want clarity, because we told it's because of the hostility between the union, that was the reason of the removal of the administrator. But then, when I read this letter, it raises some eyebrows on my part. Then I think this should be clear. You see, Chair, I'm reading it because this administrator was deployed to the municipality March 2017 until his subsequent withdrawal on the 21st of December 2018. Almost a year and 8 months, we're calculating with the chief deal. It was almost a year and then I want to understand from the two HODs. I think this one was responded by the HOD of Finance. Was the financial recovery plan developed? And was it ever implemented? I'm reading it from the HOD of Treasury. And then when you read this letter by the speaker, then that comes the question to say, who then assumed the responsibility for governing and accountability at the time the intervention was undertaken? Who did that? And then now you have a situation where an administrator was deployed 17 March 2017, subsequently withdrawn 2018. Actually, when was this intervention going to stop? Did he have a time frame when it was going to come and stuff? Because from where I'm sitting, he was saying this official was supposed to be working somewhere in the department. I've gone through the document, there was also an additional income. I want to understand what was this person actually doing in the municipality. In line with that question that I've raised in terms of the financial recovery plan, Then Irish Federal Friends say, in terms of the intervention COFSA provision, what was the scope, the process and conditions? Because you don't just intervene for the mere purpose. Because the mere purpose up to now we couldn't then find a replacement. It's to me that the issue that I've gone through the memo that led to the intervention attached somewhere, but it doesn't detail the issues from where I'm sitting. I want to understand that as well. And then were there therefore then in terms of the process and the conditions? Because there they would have been clear timeline in line also with the financial recovery plan if it was ever developed. And if it was developed, was it ever implemented? And what were the outcomes? Because where we are seated today, Macedonia is still one of these repeat offenders where we are seated. But there's been intervention, there's been two financial years in between where there was an intervention. One wants to understand what the impact of the intervention. And then the other issue now, when I read this letter of the speaker again, to me it's clear that there was no role definition. Number one, the administrator's role. What was the administrator's role? And then what was the council's role? And what was the municipal manager's? Okay, the MM's role during the administrator's, the senior manager's role during the intervention. Then, I think the central issue that I want to raise on the implementation of the financial recovery plan. Because was it ever developed and was ever implemented? And if it was, because to me, if you sit with this kind of a report from the Auditor General, it's either that thing was not implemented, and then were there consequences for non-implementation of the financial recovery plan. And then, also, the two OJPs will be able to respond to us, also say, post the Executive Council decision to intervene, were they ever joined a meeting between the provincial committees of COFSA and finance in the province? Because I think as a consequence of the provincial intervention, the law prescribed that there must be regular feedback and updates. And if that happened, what was contained in those reports? Because where we are seated now here, we are much concerned to say that you still have a municipality that despite the administrator deploying, you still then continue to have disclaimers. So that those are the issues that I wanted to raise to say also then the two of themselves as HOD, did they also then have, did they manage to provide regular progress reports to their political principals, being the MEC for Finance, MEC for COFSA, including the Premier? Did you ever provide on the implementation of those interventions? Because if indeed this section 139 was invoked to make sure that they rescue the municipalities, these are the things that you expect to see in the municipalities. And then if the answer is yes, then definitely we need to be provided with those documents so that we can be able to satisfy ourselves. So those are the issues that one wanted to understand. But like I said earlier, most of the matters I think as a committee on COFSA will be able to follow them up. But I think this requires clarity and responses from the two senior officials, from both COFSA and Finance.
I think it would be proper to read this letter into the report. Because I think there's merit to it. The letter dated 30th of October 2017 by the Speaker D.E. Modise. Headline, non-cooperation by end or from administrator. Honorable MEC, receive my revolutionary greetings during the year that we commemorate the legacy of our town. This communique serves to convey the Council's resolution of the meeting which was held on Friday, 27 October 2017, in the Town Hall at 49 hours. That Council acknowledges and condones the intervention which invoke RSA Constitution Section 139(1)(b) as a result of Council failing to fulfill its constitutional mandated executive obligation. However, Council is not entirely satisfied with the unprofessional civil conduct and behavior of the administrator, Mr. Arrestar, who was appointed to oversee and steer within a local municipality out of its deserts. Since the appointment of the administrator in the municipality, Council is in the dark, since there has never been any progress in quote-unquote that has ever been tabled before Council to bring honourable councillors and or councillor board with intervention achievements and or challenges that are hampering council efforts to get the municipality out of current settlement. Administrator's arrogance has reached boiling point as it does not respond to letters seeking clarity and address to him about the progress made to date since appointment 17 March 2023. Among other frustrations include failures to 1. Provide and or raise his terms of reference to be presented to council despite many attempts to do so. 2. Facilitate council meetings as per speaker's request. 3. Attend council sitings and ESCO and Section 80 committees have not been sitting. 4. Council resolutions are ignored and not implemented. 5. Service delivery has dropped under his watch. Collection rate has dropped drastically. 6. To submit the annual financial statement as requested by 30 August 2017. And 7. To inform council about an amount of 3.7 million rand, which was defrauded from the municipality through ESCOM pseudo account for payment of electricity bill. It is against this above background that council request honourable MSD to make immediate intervention upon 48 hours of receipt of this communique. Council further requests that the honourable that COPTA and or ESCO to review the presence and or appointment of the current administrator of the RSL in Australian local municipality. It is trusted that the above shall reach your most considerate attention. So for the letter, so I just want to read it. That's the HOP of the initial treasury, and then the HOP of Copta will come into that because he is the business.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and honorable members. I'm not calling on the letter because I've never seen a copy of the letter.
Can the sort of issues of honorable chairman just put in the context question?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, the financial recovery plan of the Macedonian municipality was developed and it was adopted by the council, and the last financial recovery plan meeting that was held on the 2nd of July 2019, and we have been receiving reports on the progress on the massive basis of chapter 3 around the council.
Thanks, Chair. I know the issues that have been raised by the chairperson of the portfolio committee for COPTA. We will be dealing with them in the best possible way. Let me respond to these other issues. I think in terms of the letter, one of the reasons why the Executive Council then took a decision to withdraw Mr. Kao was a result of those particular issues that there is. Some of them were verified, some were actually tested to be more political, but then it took a firm view to say, okay, in the interest of these concerns, let's then withdraw Mr. Kao. Also because he had also given us the report which showed that this man was also in danger at the time. I'm sure I'm covering that part to say what was done in the contents of the letter.
But it would be good it would be if you have a copy of the letter in front of you. Because if you say some are verified, which ones were those? Because they are 8 to 7 sets of frustration.
Yeah.
can I come this one? The reason why I brought this letter to the attention of the HSC, we have been listening to you attentively. Early, when you said, no, it was about the relationship between some. And from where we are sitting here, it's my expectation that you have been aware of the content of the book. There was no need for me to produce it to you. And then I think it should have been clear upfront, you know, because I just wanted to bring it to his attention that he knows. Because I'm raising this because we shouldn't be economically with the book. That's why I'm raising this issue. Because it should have been upfront, so that's why I had to deliberately bring the letter to the fore based on the fact that as I was listening, and the witness is actually whispering to me, but it doesn't make sense. So that's why I was trying to say, then let me then also remind you, like, in line with what you're saying, I want to make an impact. Because we could have passed this book if he has said he has been upfront. These are the issues that you're saying. Can he be specific so that you answer that?
Because the indictment is this sum which we don't. So that's what I'm saying. When I run out, just clear the word. So there are seven frustrations which are categorically stated and here. And then the other one will be on the first page about no fraud. So because of those who are verified.
I do have the letter. I know about the letter. Chair, I did indicate at the beginning, if you recall, that one, there were quite a number of problems around that incident. But in the main, issues around safety were of the concern. Yes, indeed, I think of those seven matters, five of them were verified. And because of that point, in my presentation, I do indicate that part of the report that is not to our issue was measured relating to the issue of ESCOM, which we also advise to say, go and open criminal charges. And the criminal charges were actually opened by the administrator with the, I think, Belcom Commercial Crimes Unit, something like that. He's here, he can indicate. Of what actually transpired, because our issue with the department was
so you say ESCOM, that was verified. So right in our main in terms of reference to the prevention to counsel despite any attempts.
Look, Chair, that is exactly what I want to talk about.
I'm trying to manage time as well. So when I go through the list, so
was that verified?
That's
it. Look, we ourselves in the department, we did that. In the first
council meeting,
the
first
council meeting, all
that, the second one is facilitating council meeting, the second speaker,
it was verified that the council meeting when I was speaking the this one.
Attend council meeting and ESCO and section meeting, committee meeting, was that verified?
It was verified.
Council resolution that ignored and noted.
We but that one was also one of which that was verified and found to be because we said to the municipality, let's get the list of all those resolutions that had not been
implemented. Service delivery has dropped after his watch, collection rate has dropped.
Look, remember Chair, when I said the reason why we intervened, it was a result of the issue of collection, it has been there. It's part of why we intervened.
So that's what that didn't arrive as failure.
It's not that he look he dropped under his words. It has been there.
Alright. Right. Failure to submit any financial statements as requested by Betsy August 2017.
That's correct.
So of the 7 6 of the verified. So if not to the question it should be what?
Check, I said, of the 7, 5 were verified to be correct, but 2 were not correct. 1, like I indicated, the issue relating to the submission of the terms of reference was done by myself.
That's what I noticed.
But
we've gone through the list now.
The second one, the issue of the difficulty, that is correct, and he's the one who brought that report to us, and he even, you know, opened the criminal charges.
I should come to the report was brought to you, but to them. That then there's merits to them saying they are in the dark. So I'm not disputing the threat to the government. I think it's really responsible. But let's look at the substantive issues related to his work. Kevin, the municipality, says, okay, fine, we are under administration. We want to play our part. And what the issues of frustration is they raise their own concerns. So then it becomes the question by Honourable Solomon becomes the basis of everything. What their administration is now, you know? You can conclude with your responses on the ritual. We are just wanted us to find Ula Bashe on the matter.
But, Chair, like I said, I agree with those issues. That's why we prepared an item to the executive council and said, look, based on these problems, because also the report of the administrator was saying, these are the problems that are experienced in the municipality, then let's withdraw and get another administrator to go and take the process forward. And let me address this thing of the duration of the duration of the intervention. The law provides that it's a period that does not have to exceed 6 months, but it can be extended by approval of the executive council if the report shows what are those things that require additional attention. It has been, you know, for that unacceptable long time because of other problems on the ground. Some of the problems were political, some of the problems really were administrative, like the issues that we have already raised. And these are the matters that I think the new administrator will be aware of and will have to deal with him. Perhaps 3 months, because you said we want him to have that afterwards. Within 3 months, we will still have to go and introduce the formal new council so that these issues that are outstanding can then be attended.
So, you think that this intervention is certainly an intervention? According to me, go to some of the issue of Mafube, I will take a minute or so, and then we decide to go forward because the stumbling block. Because for me, substantively, the issues which the AG has raised have been clarified by this kind of arrangement. Now it's exactly why. Whatever you get, there was just a breakdown of it. I will get it. Okay, so maybe we won't want to.
No, just check. Not clarify the conversation. I think there has been no clarity on the matter that has been raised. Yeah, so it becomes clear that whatever matter that drives is deep into what you see of a thought, of an action, of an action, but overall the perceived section 139 intervention. You would be allowed to close by the chair, which I don't know if you engaged with here. In hindsight, what do you think the court that the strategy can ensure that happens?
Like I said, Chair, we have had service of meeting the newly appointed administrator, who still have to be introduced to the expertise. And we will ensure that the various committees, especially in terms of preference, function properly. If there are any problems that may be experienced in the process, we will accordingly intervene as the department and ensure that things are actually normalized in the municipality. Currently, like I said, a number of things that relate to service delivery are currently receiving attention. And that's the positive thing from our side to say, look, we have often managed certain things that were never there before. The
understanding. You that is fine, as the scholar has problems. Are there any problems that is fine? Are there any problems? Why are there any problems? As you are sitting on the desk now, are you counting that municipality is one of those municipal operations in a manner which would be sitting a comfortably in your office saying that things are not somewhat?
Chair, it's only if for instance we apply a tea box kind of a thing. I can tell you that out of the
test. I'm saying I'm glad to know because we're talking about lives of our own.
Thank you.
We're talking about other future. And then we must not play about such. We must all the time ensure that we express that service to our own community. Agility and to be accurate, because we're using taxpayers' money. There's a whole lot of wastage as we speak. Want to allow to be crippled by the fact that you think that an intervention that is for something which is not there. You can't be an accounting officer. Allow the situation of duality to arise to manage that municipality. You spell out all the conditions of your intervention. But it's still dual arena. The municipal manager is very intact. As we speak, they would sign orders, they would act on certain items and so forth. So a number of things are happening there. And others you don't know. So they just happen under your own nose. Is that intervention? Is there intervention? So there is no intervention there. We ask you a fair question, but with hindsight, what do you think you do getting out of this hall, getting back into the first stage?
Chair, like I said, the administrator will be there, and we are putting the timelines of about 3 months to deal with all the deficiencies. Yet, I'm not convinced that the current operation in the municipality are where we want it to be and are compliant. In terms of the principle of the Constitution. And that's what we are committing ourselves to acknowledging. It's a pity that, like I said before, certain things were beyond us in terms of the executive council sitting and ensuring that we respect the process of intervention. But I commit, Chair, that within 3 months we should see an improvement in the municipality in the interest of all the issues that we've just raised.
All right, Colin. Which of you will still remain with us as we go to Mafube? But I can say now that we are not in the network underscore without any fear. And I'm sure National Council is noting this thing in light of the discussion during last week about the application of money. Because it seems to be ad hoc and subject to final like application. If I may hand over to the mayor of Macedonia to make a remark because of the
just to go to the bathroom.
I thought I had to come back. They would come back.
issues that Mr. Mayor must bring in and then close this matter, because the question is, if the administrator has been approved, we want a date as to when that council meeting is going to sit. So we want that. So we want to know to the mayor to make the remarks, and then we'll take a 5 minute break to address the politics of this morning.
Maybe I'll follow the intent of our other work, but I think my main question is on the chair will not answer. We are still within 3 months, everything. So the question is saying when does the administration start stop? That's the first question of the matter. That's where I'm sitting. And the issue Yama raised on a resolution you were saying, role definition, in within the context of the matter. To say when the process is, because that's why I wanted to come to say when we interview, we put processes in place to say, that the report, what I hear is that the report is going to go back to the executive council. But there are pertinent issues to say, then again, to you. You have visited the situation when there was an administrator who stayed there for 1 year, 8 months. This one has gone up the that type of two things are going to improve in the next 2 months. What would be the terms of treatment for how long? Is this another 1 year, 8 months? That's the class. I think the assurance that one wants to get to. What informs the 3 months to the things to be improved on action?
I will come back to. But can we get those responses? I think they would arrive out of the matter as well. Okay, then we'll get a summary of that on those issues. Okay, then you get that. Mr. Mayor, welcome. Now for the committee as we convene last week, once again our condolences to you and your family. And under those difficult circumstances, we thank you for being here and to be so shortly after the matter that you had to go through. But nonetheless, welcome. The first conversation, we now would like the political commitment from the municipality to cooperate with these matters so that you can be able to tie this matter down and bring it to a logical and legal conclusion on one hand, but improve the quality of the livelihoods of our people on the ground. That's our issue. And creating a functional environment for the management of those training affairs. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Honorable Chairperson, what I can say to the House is that there is a political readiness and commitment that was actually made to this House Chair. There are a number of issues, Chairperson. As you can adduce from the input, remember the question that we have. COPPA has not been there yet. They have been on our own. Actually, they were, contributing particularly on other issues, like in the salaries and so on. There are a number of issues that were also outstanding concerning the organogram that we have completed, the engagement with the issue of AG bilateral to my office and my office, the AG's office. So we have come with a transition plan. We have to deal with legal issues. And then if my municipal manager is not performing, we will take action and make commitments. And I can make a commitment to a person to say we have also resolved that using audit processes, there will be no specific manager. All the only. So that the Auditor General's office should not struggle with a lot of issues. The issue of technical manager, social committees, and TFO will be finalized after this waiting process. And I want to say, we thank all members, Chairperson, by being honest. And there was also issue that also I raised with the COPTAN to say there is no way this municipality can move from this same as Chairperson to clean audits or unqualified quantity. If there is a laxity on the side of God. But you remember the appointment of service programs that they are appointing on behalf of the municipality, which I don't recommend. We talk about assets, we talk about the revenue management of the municipality. Some of the issues we have raised in court before court to say are not seen in the municipality. But we hope, Chairperson, that when we come here, we'll be able to say that we're right at the end of the challenge. Because we are also engaging with the community. The issue of water, we have come to mitigation factors like bringing room water to come for the operational maintenance part to the top of the municipality. And then we will decide. So the issue of water will be a thing of the past among these four towns of Barcelona. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Colin, there was a few for a humanitarian break, so we'll take that break if we can only see the 5 hours.